Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight I have no co-host, but I do have a great guest with me tonight. And I might as well go right into it. We got Chip Merlin with us tonight, and he's founder and president of Merlin Law Group, one of the largest national firms representing and advocating for policyholders in disputes against their insurance companies. And I found Chip when I saw his book called Pay Up. Pay Up is a book about how Chip helps people get the insurance companies to pay the claims that they're supposed to claim, that they're supposed to pay. And you would be amazed, and I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners out there who have had situations where they fought with insurance companies over the claims that they were trying to make and getting a roadblock in actually getting that claim paid. So I want to just go ahead and bring Chip in with us. Chip, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and thank you very much for that kind introduction.
Yeah, well, Chip, I got to give you fair disclosure. First and foremost, my father was vice president of claim for Harleysville Mutual Insurance Company. My brother was a lawyer also and a president of High Point Insurance Company. So I come from the other side of the equation. I used to negotiate structured settlements, actually, also. So I was on the other side of the coin from you.
Well, you know, and that's fine. And a lot of people are surprised when I talk about insurance being a financial man-made product that really has allowed us to do so much in our lives. I mean, without insurance, the ability for businesses to go out and take risks and have the collateral, you know, insured in case of disaster, for people to go buy homes and have bank knowing that if a hurricane or a flood or something were to happen, that there's a fallback safety net that's going to protect that collateral. Without insurance, those things wouldn't be able to happen. So it's a man-made product that we use socially to really help, you know, us, especially as we get more affluent, have more things that we have to worry about losing that becomes more and more important in our lives and in our businesses.
True. You know, I learned how to negotiate claims from my father when I used to do structured settlements back in the 80s and the 90s. And my father always taught me one thing. He said, make sure that by the time you finish negotiating a claim, both sides feel like a loser. If you feel like you lost something and they feel like they lost something, then you had a successful settlement. So, you know, I think that's the way claims are supposed to be done, but we're going to get into the issues that you deal with when they don't give you a fair settlement. So you actually got into this because of a bad accident you personally had. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, when I was living out, my father was in the Coast Guard, and I grew up all over the United States. And following the senior year of high school in Alexandria, Virginia, my father was stationed in Washington, D.C., and we had a great time up in Northern Virginia and sailing boats all throughout the Chesapeake Bay area, and just a great time. But it was time for me to go to college. A friend of mine had asked me to go with his family to go out blue fishing up on the Maryland shore, and on the way out there, we got involved in a car accident. And I'd never planned to be a lawyer, but really what happened is everybody else got lawyers, and I had a bad, you know, fracture to my elbow. It's still bent, and a pin was in my thumb. And the insurance company was calling me, and they were asking, well, how much money do you want? And I never thought about anything that in my life. You know, I mean, who would? And it got me interested in the rights of people and where you stand, because the only people that I really could figure out that really understood where they stood legally and what their rights were lawyers. And so that car accident really had a silver lining, as people say, and got me very interested in this area of the law. I went down to Florida, University of Florida, and did my undergraduate in law school there, and then started representing actually property insurance carriers for my first almost 3 years of the practice of law,
right,
primarily. And then I switched over, became a policyholder attorney, helping people against insurance companies, primarily with property insurance claims.
But you also, you do all of them, so I'm going to go through a few of them that we can during the course of this interview. First one is medical claims. You know, you get often that you put in a claim with through a doctor and so forth. They put in a claim for you, and next thing you know, the insurance company's coming back and saying, well, that's not a covered thing, and so forth. And part of the problem here, Chip, is that the technology between doctors and insurance companies is incredibly complicated, and just one difference of a code could be the difference between you owing $5,000 and absolutely nothing. And it's just insane.
Right. And those codes can be accidentally entered, the wrong codes entered, and the insurance, it's not even an insurance company individual who looks at those codes. Instead, it's a computer. And most people don't understand this. It's a computer that's got artificial intelligence that's making up through a software, you know, that goes through and says, whoops. And it's a computer decision that says we're denying this particular thing or agreeing to pay it.
Yeah, you had a case in the book where you talked about a lady that actually wanted to make the claim good, and she wrote in the ledger or something that she couldn't get the computer to pay the dang claim, and she knew it was supposed to be paid.
When a human finally read the letters that the doctors had wrote, she wrote in the claim file, "Help, help, help. I can't get the computer to change its mind."
It's like HAL.
I thought, right, like HAL 2001, A Space Odyssey. I mean, it was that type of problem. But for the doctors doing the surgery, she would have died. You know, they did it for free until we could go ahead and win the lawsuit and go get the money back afterwards. But, you know, that's a lesson, you know, especially in the medical field. There's so many claims being made. You know, it's individuals don't really make these decisions until way down the line. They don't recognize that what's going on is artificial intelligence and computerization is really who is making the decisions on most of these claims. And that's why people shouldn't give up. They need to be a squeaky wheel.
Yeah, you state three things, and I've got to take a pause after this real quick. But you state three things to do to defend yourself. Don't take no for an answer. Go over the system if necessary, and hire an expert if it's a big enough situation that you need help. Those were your three recommendations. I thought they were fantastic. And when we come back, why don't you tell the story about the other lawyer like you who had I believe it was her son, and what she had to do to get her son the necessary help that she needed. But right now, Chip, I got to take a quick pause with traffic. I'm going to be right back after this. You can explain that story.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Drew Tignanelli here with Chip Merlin, and we're talking about pay up. Come on, insurance companies, make good on your claims. Chip, why don't you just give us a little bit about that lawyer who had to go over the system, say take no for an answer, et cetera, on her own son's medical, and then we're going to go into property casualty.
Well, Renee Sigmund is a great attorney out of her Houston office, and she's just battled insurance companies her entire career since she first got out of law school in about 2000. And her son, Blake, was diagnosed with an anaplastic large cell lymphoma, which is, you know, very rare, and it's a very aggressive form of cancer. And this happened in the fall of 2015. And you know, while, you know, he was very sick, the insurance company at first is giving all kinds of problems about approving this one type of medication that had been recommended by Pfizer and seemed to be the one thing that would really help him out. And because it was, quote, experimental, because it had never been used with children before, they wouldn't even approve it to be sold to the hospital. So, you know, she was stuck. The doctors wanted to use it. They thought he was perfect for it. And she's just not giving no to an answer. So she kept calling, giving all kinds of, finally said, okay, we'll prove it, but it only to a pharmacy. Well, the pharmacies that sold to the hospital couldn't sell it to the hospital in Texas. She finally had to find a way around the system and had Pfizer have the pharmacy in Indiana, where she was lucky enough to have a family up there in Indiana, and pay out of this, get this, out of her own pocket to begin with, $27,000 to get this, you know, miracle drug to help save her son Blake. And so eventually, you know, she got the medication, went up, got it to her son, eventually, you know, kept pushing on the hospital and they paid it. No, but, you know, this is Renee Sigmund, who is an insurance law expert, who is very fluent, can speak with an insurance company, can push really hard. And one of her comments to me is, you know, Chip, do you know how many other children are there that are going through this that they don't speak very well in English? They're Spanish, they're Hispanic. And she's trying to explain very subtle concepts to an insurance company to get people to pay. She goes, and then who has this amount of money right away? Who has time to battle all this kind of stuff? And she just thinks, you know, but for the grace of God, you know, it could have been a different situation had she not been trained in the law.
That's true.
It's very unfortunate that it has to happen this way. Yeah.
It is. But, you know, you got two issues going on. Number one, fraud is prevalent in all areas of insurance. And number two, it is profitable for an insurance company to just not pay claims if they don't have to, or if they can get around it, or they can convince the person not to put the claim in or whatever. It's just profitable. So you got those two forces coming together that insurance companies will do this type of stuff to not pay a claim.
Well, Drew, you know, you hit the nail on the head, you know, it's a lot more profitable to take people's premiums and not pay the claim than to do otherwise. And sometimes that's the way some insurance companies act. They know most people don't have the wherewithal to go battle them.
And that's
most
true.
People don't even know that they can object to it. They don't know that they can go to insurance commissioners' offices. In many states right now, for especially medical insurance claims, they have specialists that will help out policyholders that are just common citizens that will help push this through, because it's such a major problem, especially in the medical field, where people really don't understand the terminology nor how the insurance works. It's a very Byzantine, you know, process. And I always encourage people to try, if you can't afford anybody else, you know, at least go call your insurance commissioner right away.
So let's step into the property casualty industry, the one that my brother and father actively were part career in and so forth. And, you know, but the interesting thing about your book is it seemed to be an indictment against State Farm. I mean, every other page, it was like another story about State Farm. And then Allstate started to jump into the pages, too. Is State Farm have a reputation for this type of thing?
Well, I think it varies from time to time. Sometimes they get very lax on the claims, and they are the largest, you know, personal lines insurance, you know, carrier in the United States. So they have more claims to handle, and there's going to be more things that can go wrong. You know, but I've in the book, I do describe some things that people are just amazed. Are you serious? This really happened, and it was State Farm that did this. And I don't mean it as an indictment against State Farm. I absolutely don't. There's a lot of very, you know, good, hardworking people that are very ethical there. But sometimes things go awry. It's a national firm that has regional claims departments. People are fighting hard to get promotions. And sometimes those promotions, in their mind, means you know, people over profits, if we can show in the claims department that we're doing better about reducing the amount that we pay on claims, which is not right if you are the policyholder to have your claim just, you know, arbitrarily lowered through various claims techniques, you know,
right.
That's just not the right thing. And that can happen to any large corporation.
Right. So, you know, you talk about a couple things here that I didn't actually have ever heard of. You talked about slab clauses and anti-concurrent causation clauses in your homeowners policies that could potentially wipe out your claim. And that's why they call you the Babe Ruth of hurricane disaster claims, because the insurance companies use these clauses in hurricanes to say, nah, that was flooding. Well, we don't have to pay for that.
All those inlets up in the Chesapeake Bay and up on the Severn River and all that. God bless everybody. If there's ever a hurricane that really hits up there with a strong storm surge.
There was earlier.
There will be a number of homes that the only thing that's going to be left afterwards is a slab. And the question then is, how much damage was done by the hurricane wind versus the storm surge or the flooding waters that wash everything away? And so this is becoming, unfortunately, with climate change and everything else, more and more prevalent, that what you're left with is a slab. Many people don't know that your homeowner's insurance only pays for the wind portion of the damage. You have to buy specialized flood insurance that covers you for the storm surge. And so you can imagine what happens. The storm surge or the flood insurance carrier has a motivation to say, well, this is caused by the wind. And the wind carrier has a motivation to say, well, it's really caused by the flood. And so they're pointing fingers at one another, and the policyholder's going, I don't understand all of this. And by the way, what is this anti-concurrent causation clause in an insurance policy that I've read 10 times and still can't decipher its, you know, hieroglyphics? I mean, it's just it's a difficult concept even for lawyers to agree upon what it means. And they're caught in the middle. And so there's been litigation from Louisiana. I was up for 3 years up in New Jersey and New York after Superstorm Sandy, with all kinds of slab claims up there. And unfortunately, because of the way the policy is written, we're destined to have more of these same type of issues over and over and over again. It's insanity, but that's just the way our policies are written that way, and these disputes are inherent so long as we do it this way.
So you state one other thing in this section that I agree wholeheartedly if you're in any kind of flood zone, but you say pretty much most people ought to have a flood insurance policy. And the way you came across it was even if you're not anywhere near a flood zone.
Yeah, I often tell there was golf courses that are, I remember when there was a real heavy rainstorm that went on for about 4 days in Florida, and people living on a golf course over in Melbourne, way inland, and it flooded, into all their homes. The water rose so high that it inundated the entire area. It wasn't a resort area. It was a HOA. A lot of retired Air Force people were there. Those that had flood insurance through the National Flood Insurance, which it was very cheap because the flood program never expected there to be a flood there, all got paid. People didn't buy the flood insurance, and they didn't need to because it wasn't required by their mortgage company. It's not a high flood area. They didn't get paid. And so often I tell people, you know, if there's even the remotest possibility of you getting flooded, you ought to take the insurance because it's very, very cheap, you know, outside that particular area. Even a very heavy rainstorm, it can start to cover you. So there are areas right now in Louisiana, nowhere close to the coast, but it was raining, and some of the flood from the spring floods and other areas, along with all the extra rain, there's areas of I-10 that are completely flooded over, and a lot of small towns have been flooded. 2,000 homes have been completely total loss. You know, in Louisiana, they're nowhere close to a river and nowhere close to the shore, and the governor has just recently asked for an emergency declaration in Louisiana. And if you had flood insurance, which many of them won't, it will cover them for that particular loss. A lot of people don't think about it, but your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover typically for flooding and groundwater flooding.
Huh. So I got to go to a pause real quick. So I only got a few seconds, or you can answer it after the break. I've always heard that if you had flood insurance, if you do make a claim, you're probably not going to be able to easily continue to carry flood insurance in the future.
That's not true. The flood, National Flood Program will keep paying you. It's the one program that absolutely keeps paying until they actually buy your home. You know, so it's the national government, and actually that program, believe it or not, works.
All right. You got to hold on with me, Chip, and we'll be back and talk more about how insurance companies try to get around claims and what you need to do to protect yourself. But right now, I've got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. It's Drew Tignanelli here with Chip Merlin. We're talking about pay up insurance companies. We've got a claim and you deserve to pay us, so pay up. And if you don't, I'm going to hire Chip and he's going to come and whoop on you. And so, Chip, where's your law firm? How do people get in touch with? I mean, do you do business in Maryland?
We do business in Maryland. I've had quite a few cases. I keep thinking of a number of cases, especially up on the Jersey Shore. We even represented a fish farm.
So how do people get in touch with you if they needed to, you know, if they had a situation?
Well, the easiest way is to go to Google and put Chip Merlin Lawyer, and I'm the only Chip Merlin that's going to show up anywhere doing this type of work, and I'm very serious about that. We have a daily blog that we publish about property insurance, and the book will show up, Pay Up. My phone number is 813-229-1000, but our firm now has 60 attorneys and 13 different offices throughout the United States. So we're, you know, everywhere, including in Puerto Rico. I'm based in Tampa. I've got 11 different bar association memberships, and so we travel a lot.
So, Chip, one of the areas, I don't remember reading any of it in the book, but I just thought a lot of our listeners might find it interesting. Numerous years ago, I was driving along and traffic stopped and the guy behind me decided not to stop. And when he did, he racked into the back of my car pretty hard. And the other company, I can't remember who his insurance company was, but they contacted me and they said, "Were you hurt?" And I said, "No, you know, so don't worry about that and just fix my car." And they fixed my car. But I understood that when they fixed my car, I could have diminished value in my car. Not all states allow it, but Maryland does. And I knew it, but a lot of listeners don't understand diminished value. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure, it's real easy. When you go to buy your car, and if you look up Carfax or anywhere else, if your car has been in an accident before, it's worth less. And so even though if it's completely fixed up, even with completely original manufactured parts, you know, in the repair, the car is still worth less. There's some type of residual value that's less. And it doesn't just go on with cars. It can go on with homes. It can go on with all types of property that once it's been damaged and repaired, many people, you know, believe that the repair leaves the whatever the piece of property is in a less valuable state than others that are never been in an accident. So many states allow an element of damage known as not just for the repair value, which is a certain amount, plus the reduction in the value of the vehicle, you know, or whatever piece of property it might be, even though it's repaired. You would think it would be repaired back and be the same. It's not. It could be 10%, 15%, 5%, whatever it is less in a repaired value, and many states allow you to collect on that. And they may even allow you to collect on your own insurance policy, and it's a state-by-state basis. And good for you for knowing that Maryland allows for it, because unfortunately, some insurance companies, I would suggest for the profit reason, don't let you know about the fact that you're entitled to get diminished value as well.
Nobody ever talks about it. You know, the insurance agents or adjusters never told me about it at all. And I actually had to hire a private adjuster, a public adjuster, to come and help me figure out what my diminished value was that I could claim against the insurance company. And it was like $4,000.
So, Drew, the premise of my book is pay up. How to avoid a disaster with your own insurance company. I go through the various types of professionals you can hire afterwards. And one of those, especially for property damage claims, is a public adjuster. And there are a number of very fine public adjusting firms in Maryland who I know and do a fantastic job. And these people are truly experts and would know about diminished value as well as how you are to properly go about repairing various, you know, from a manufacturing business that might be, or apartment or a hotel, all the way to a vehicle, to your jewelry that might get lost, whatever it is. And these people are known as public insurance adjusters, and they can help you out on your property damage claims.
So I want to begin headed into the last segment of the show talking about fire damage and what insurance companies can try to do to delay paying and minimize how much they pay. For example, we always tell our clients, every time we meet with a client, we always tell them this. We say, go around your house, take pictures, take videos, keep receipts of extremely expensive things, et cetera, because if you ever have a major disaster, how are you going to prove to the insurance adjuster that you lost umpteen hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff? And most people probably don't do it, but I hope they all do, and I keep trying to beat it into them that they should do that. Do you agree?
Well, of course, and everybody says that, and it's sort of like you should also read your own insurance policy, but nobody does. Nobody.
You can't read that. Only lawyers can read that stuff.
Right. Even if you were to read it, that doesn't. Even if I read it, there are times I go through and I read it, what does this mean? They changed the policy around. What are they trying to do? And I'm an expert in the field. I can't imagine anybody reading their insurance policy and truly understanding it. It's almost a waste of time. And then to figure out in advance all the particular problems you're going to have, you know, before it's impossible. That's why people need, the first thing you need to do is hire a great insurance agent that's watching out, you know, for you. And that means, and not picking the guy, person down at the yacht club or the country club or something like that. I mean, a person who has a lot of credentials. And the more wealth you accumulate, the more important it is for you to get a very, very good insurance agent. The better the agent, the better the advice you'll get, the better the insurance that person will be able to provide, so you don't end up with Swiss cheese insurance with all kinds of coverage gaps and not being properly insured. That's the first thing everybody of affluence should do. You know, after that, you go get it. You go, if it's a big loss, go get some professional help.
Don't insurance agents, though, have somewhat of an economic bias not to help you get your best claim?
A lot of insurance agents, unfortunately, it's not told, but they have a book. The insurance company keeps a book on them, and a lot of the insurance agencies get paid sometimes years after the fact on the profitability of the book. They literally get bonuses on this. This is outlawed in some states, but not all states. And unfortunately, I think the agents that are not the best insurance agents and the ones that are in it in the short term and are short-sighted, you know, look at this. The truth is the best insurance agents are always looking out for their clients, and they put their clients first, and ethics mean a lot. Somebody has a lot of credentials and hire that person as your agent.
So explain what bad faith is before we have to go to our last pause, and so our listeners understand that insurance companies can't mistreat you in a claim.
Right. So most people think insurance companies are just out to get you. They're not going to pay enough. The truth of the matter is that insurance companies recognize they have ethical obligations of good faith, and that means that they have a sufficient number of adjusters with authority to pay you right away for the full amount of your claim after doing a thorough investigation to make certain that you're entitled to and get every single penny that you're entitled to under the policy. And they're supposed to advise you about benefits that you're not getting, things like diminished value, because that's good faith and that's honest and fair dealing. Now, that's the ethical obligation all insurance companies recognize. I will tell you, Drew, just like you said, it's a lot more profitable for insurance companies not to do it that way than otherwise, okay?
Yep, and so if they don't, and we're going to, when we come back, you can tell the story of the couple whose house burned down and they had a little $20,000 claim, and ultimately the insurance company ended up, got for them. I think you were their lawyer, right?
Right, we were their lawyer. So if they don't act in good faith, their, quote, bad faith lawsuits can be brought to penalize
them. And you won $1 million for a $20,000 claim.
Well, if the claim, the total claim was a lot more. They came to us on the very last amount, only $25,000, I think, was remaining, maybe $20,000, and we listened to the rest of the facts, and they said, we said, no, 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 this is worth a lot more in Colorado.
We'll come back and do that in a second, because it's a great story, but right now I got to take a pause with traffic, and we're going to be right back. Last segment, Chip Merle and Money Rich and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com, if your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. I must have gotten on the good side of my producer tonight that he's played some real music for once. Anyway, we're here with Chip Merlin and his book, Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company, is a great book if you want to learn about how to protect yourself when you're making claims, whether it's for life insurance, auto insurance, homeowners, medical, et cetera, et cetera. Chip's got some great advice in here for you. And if you need to get in touch with Chip's firm, you can just Google search Chip Merlin Lawyer, and he's the first and only lawyer to come up there, so you shouldn't have any trouble finding him. So, Chip, tell us the story about the couple with their $20-some-thousand-dollar claim that you ended up getting $1 million for, and what was the situation that the insurance company was in bad faith on?
Well, you started this off by baiting me by trying to say something bad about State Farm, and this couple was insured by State Farm, unfortunately. And they were an older couple. They were from San Diego. This is their second dream home that they were having up there, and they had a fire, and it just destroyed almost all their home. And they came to us because they had supplemental coverage that they couldn't get, and they thought they were entitled to another $20,000 to fix up their home. And two attorneys, Larry Bates and Tom Bukowski out of Denver, called me and said, you know, Chip, this is not such a good case. And I flew up there, looked at the case and everything, and I said, you know, let's represent them. I know it's $20,000, but Colorado's got some really good statutory language that protects policyholders when an insurance company delays the payment of their claim. And what State Farm had done, and this happens with a lot of insurance companies, they make the insurance policy into a self-service insurance policy. And if you remember a long time ago, when we all used to go out to the gas station, and the guys would pump it up, full service, you know? And instead now, almost every, you have to pump it up yourself. Even if you're 75 years old, you have to pump it up yourself everywhere except New Jersey, where they still require people to pump up your gas out there for some reason. Insurance companies, for some reason, they'll go out and have estimators figure out what the cost of your home has all these detailed estimates exactly to the penny. But when it comes time to figure out, you know, how much contents damage you've got, they will hand you pieces of paper. In this case, they handed the lady 40 pieces, you know, pieces of paper. She has to, everything's got like 10 columns. Every little, man, we want you to figure out every single thing you have. Even if it's all burned out, not, you got to figure out. And so we have pictures of her that were sent to us that her husband had taken with her with masks on in a chair. And she, for months, was going through all of her burnt up, charred up stuff. And I'm talking to Larry and John. I said, you know, State Farm knows better on this. There's more carcinogenic material that will kill you and just poisonous stuff that you can't. They even tell their own adjusters that don't go in this stuff, and they're sending their own customer into this to count all this stuff up day after day. And it's not just that. It's also the emotional thing as you come across everything. And the husband especially was talking about it. I mean, people get real. You don't understand. Until you've been through this, and I've seen so many people, the emotional aspect of what you lose sometimes is so great. So they're not only making her count through and figure out what the value of everything is, and not all insurance companies do this. A lot of insurance companies, they have specialists in their own. They'll go out there and figure it all out for you. They'll ask for your help afterwards, but they're the ones out there in the hazmat suits and all this kind of stuff, figuring out what the damage is, helping remind you the type of stuff that you might have, because people have more things and stuff that you've collected for all these years. We have pictures of her sitting through this, going through it all. And you know, Colorado has some very pro-consumer laws that we knew about. They didn't know. They were looking for $20,000, $25,000. We got them $1,025,000. No confidentiality agreement that State Farm had paid to these individuals because we were able to apply some, you know, laws that really are in place. And hopefully, you know, that teaches a lesson to everybody in that particular company not to do that to your own customers.
Yeah, well, so we don't have to beat up on State Farm. We have plenty of room for Allstate, Nationwide, and Geico also.
Yeah. You know, I won't say it's systemic, but there's a lot of companies that just don't, you know, do it right. And I'm on our blog, I talk about companies that do it the right way. And sometimes State Farm will do it the right way, too. Don't get me wrong, and many companies will. But this one really stuck out because they put their own customer at risk. I mean, they even know from OSHA guidelines not to have your own adjusters go out there in that type of position without the proper clothing and things like that. And now they're sticking their policyholders out there. It was really wrong. And I'm happy that not all states have these consumer protection laws. Colorado does.
Yeah. So let's go through. You have 9 steps, not just for a fire, but for any insurance claim. When you have an accident or something's happened to your business or something's happened to your house or something significant with your car, there's some things that you should be doing to make sure that you're ready and thoughtful about processing the claim and getting fair compensation. The first one, of course, is very logical, is make sure everyone's safe. So you have any kind of accident of any sort, make sure everyone's safe and don't allow anybody to go back into an unsafe situation. That's obvious. But the second one you come up with here is keep a running chronology. So you're basically saying, okay, keep track of what's happened since the minute the situation occurred. Why?
Yeah, because you forget. And you don't remember everything. So everybody who comes up that has a card, is giving you a card, keep their card, keep their name, write it down. Who spoke with you from the insurance agent to the insurance company? What did they say? What did they promise? And keep this on a running chronology of everything that happened afterwards. Because all of a sudden, the first person who might have been dealing with you is gone. And there's another person from the same company that's saying something different. And when you write it down and you have the exact time or the approximate time that you wrote it, exactly what they said, it prevents a lot of people who make promises and then follow up within the company, whatever company it might be. And so keep
sure
a running chronology of everything that goes on.
Mitigate damage. That's something that a lot of policyholders don't understand is critical in the contract. You have a responsibility to mitigate further damage.
So you just can't leave your property might have got damaged partially and just leave it out in the open, and it's going to get even more damaged. find a place for safekeeping so it doesn't get worse.
Or if you were hurt in a car accident, you can't just go home and say, don't worry, I'll be okay, you know?
Well, your roof has got a leak and it's leaking. Get somebody that's going to go on top of the roof and put a tarp over it so if it keeps raining, there's not going to be any more water. It's going to keep coming into your home. Things
True.
Like that that go on are very important. You have an obligation to do, and the insurance companies will typically reimburse you for those things, so long as you've had damage first. So always take mitigation efforts.
Report the claim as soon as possible.
Yeah, some people don't do this, and in some states it's really bad. I mean, there's, like in New York, there's some cases that talk about people that wait 5 days, and they say, well, that's not as soon as possible, and therefore you don't get any money. I mean, I hate to say this as it goes on, but there are, in many states, even without prejudice to the insurance company, if you late report the notice of loss, you don't get any money. So, you know, typically call up your insurance agent right away, read the policy. Some insurance companies have hotlines now. Most of them allow you to report it on the internet. You need to do this right away. So it gives the insurance company notice that you had a loss, gives them opportunity to come out, look at everything, start. Honestly, if it's a good insurance company, they're supposed to be helping you out to help soften the financial blow that you've got and helping getting everything fixed back up right away.
Consider hiring a public adjuster to help you.
Yes, well, you talked about that. You just talked about it earlier, how they help you with the diminished value. But most people aren't experts. You know, when you're your own insurance adjuster, you're hiring, you know, it's like an attorney trying to represent themselves. And that's, you know, an attorney representing himself, at least they have some schooling on it. How many people are really schooled to take care of their own insurance claim? They just don't know all the laws, the regulations, what you're entitled to. It's not what somebody does for a living. And therefore, who is really on your side?
Yeah. So we're, you know, every time I have a great guest, then we run out of time real quick. And Chip, I really appreciate your time today.
Drew, you've been the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.